Operator, this is Eddie Cantor. Connect me with Fink's Drugstore.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Fink's Drugstore.
Hello. Would you please run across the street and call Jack Benny to the phone?
Well, Mr. Benny happens to be here now, but you'll have to wait a minute. He's talking to the manager at the pinball machine.
Ah, that was a lucky one. 2 nickels, please.
We don't pay off on till.
Till? Listen, buddy, I play the game fair and square. I don't even lay my hands on the machine. What I do with my feet is pure skill.
Sorry, we have rules. We do not pay off on a pinball game unless the machine remains inside the store at all times.
But Mr. Fink...
You shoved it so close to the soda fountain, you shot the last 3 balls into the malted milkshake.
Look, if that's the way you want to run your drugstore, I'll go elsewhere.
Please try to understand, Mr. Benny. I don't mind you shoving the machine a little. But you're not supposed to break the glass and put the balls where you want them.
That was an accident. I dropped my handkerchief on it.
Your handkerchief?
Yes, I had my lunch in it. I come here just for coffee, not to eat.
Oh, all right. Here are your nickels.
Mr. Benny.
Didn't even touch the thing.
You're wanted on the phone.
Oh, thanks. Help me get this pinball machine off my back. Accusing a guy of... Hello?
Jack, this is Cantor. I got your message to call.
Oh, yes, Eddie, this is urgent. I must see you immediately regarding a certain proposition.
Look, Jack, I'm not going to get stung with any more of your propositions. I didn't mind last month when you sold me that piece of property and told me it was a gold mine.
It is, Eddie. I tell you, miniature golf courses are coming back. But that's just a small deal. This proposition is big. It's tremendous. Suppose I come over and discuss it with
you. Look, Jack, I'm going on the air in a minute. I can't have you barging in on my program unless the sponsor gives his consent.
Okay, I'll hang around the drugstore until you hear from your sponsor. You can't afford to miss this opportunity.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bristol Myers, the makers of iPana for the smile of beauty and Sal Hepatica for the smile of health, present It's Time to Smile with... Eddie Cantor.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. How are you, Harry?
Say, Eddie, I overheard your conversation with Jack Benny. You know you don't need the sponsor's consent. Now, why don't you let him come on the program?
Harry, we've got a good thing here, haven't we?
Yes.
We're both eating regularly.
Yeah.
We get paid every week.
Well, what's all that got to do with Jack coming on our program?
Listen, if our sponsor finds out people are supposed to laugh, we're through, you know. Besides, Harry, I don't like to have him around. He's such a cheap guy.
Oh, no, Eddie, that's just a rumor. No, really, it's a rumor. I happen to know that for Mary's last birthday, Jack gave her a beautiful silver fox muff.
Silver fox muff?
Yes.
That was Benny's toupee with a zipper on it.
Eddie, you're exaggerating.
I'm not. That guy is really tight. Wednesday, he goes into a butcher shop and gets some liver for his dog. Thursday, he gets some hamburger for his dog. Friday, he gets bones for his dog.
Yeah, well, what's cheap about that?
Harry, he's got no dog.
Really, Eddie, I never thought Jack was that stingy.
He's always been that way. When Benny was a baby, he was weaned on a piggy bank. Believe me, Harry.
Oh, and the phone there, Eddie.
Hello?
Anything new?
No, Jack. The sponsor hasn't called yet. Why can't you tell me about your proposition now?
Look, not over the phone, Eddie. It's too big, too important. Look, did John D. Rockefeller ever transact business over a phone? Did Rockefeller ever discuss million-dollar deals over a phone?
Yes, he did.
Well, who do you think I am, Rockefeller? Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah, but Jack, I'm busy. Will you call me back?
Okay, okay.
I don't know what to do with that guy. He is the...
Oh, hello, Miss Cannon.
Well, it's Hattie McDaniel. Hattie, I've been looking for you all day. Where have you been?
I've been substituting for Rochester over at Mr. Benny's house. Yes, they put poor Rochester in jail last night.
In jail? What for?
He smiled during a blackout.
You say he smiled?
Yes, sir. And the gold in his teeth lit up Hollywood Boulevard, Crown of Glendale.
Tell me, Hattie, I'm anxious to know. You've been to Mr. Benny's house. Has he really got a piggy bank?
Oh, no, sir.
He hasn't?
No, sir. But he's the only man I know who's got a mattress that jingle, jangle, jingle. Well, Mr. Cantor, I'll be running along now.
All right, goodbye, Hattie.
So long. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Hello? Cantor speaking.
Oh, is this you, Eddie? I must have dialed your number by mistake. However, since you're on the phone, anything new?
No, not yet, Jack.
Well, I hate to bother you so much, but don't worry about the sponsor. I'll drop over later on. So long.
So long. Harry, I can't understand that, Benny. He is so... Come in.
Anything new?
Jack, why, it's Jack Benny. This is really a surprise.
Wait a minute, Eddie. What do you mean, surprise? In the first place, I just got through talking to you on the phone. Last week, you announced that I was going to be on your program. I announced it on my show, too. It's been in all the radio columns. You've had 8 Pinkerton detectives following me for 5 days. When I walked in here, why did you get so excited?
Well, look, Jack, let's not fool ourselves. If I didn't get so excited when you walked in, if I didn't say, why, it's Jack Benny, do you think you'd get such a big reception?
Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah? Well, Jack, I'm going to show you the difference. Walk out and come in again.
All right, I will.
Come in. Why, it's Jack Benny.
Now, about this proposition.
Okay. Jack, will you forget business? Forget business for a while. Business, business, business. I haven't seen you for so long, Jack. Let's just have a friendly chat.
All right.
Is it a money-making proposition?
Well, no, not exactly, no.
So how are you feeling, Jack? How are you? Gosh, it's good to see you. You know, I never see you, Jack. Of course, I listen to you every Sunday.
Oh, then you, Eddie, you did hear me mention that I was going to be on your program, didn't you?
Yes, Jack. That's the part I heard. And on your show, you also mentioned going to see the preview of your new picture, George Washington Slept Here. Did you actually go?
Yes, Eddie, I finally saw the picture.
Well, tell me, Jack, how is it? I mean, were you pleased with your work in it?
Well, Eddie, you know, I hate to bring it up in front of all these people. Look, let me tell you something. Now, Eddie, I'm not conceited. You know that, don't you?
Well, of course, Jack. You are.
I mean, you've never heard me rave about myself, have you?
Never, Jack. Never.
Well, Eddie, I will amaze you in this picture. Now, look.
No kidding.
I really will.
Really?
I honestly believe that for the first time, the screen has captured the real me.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, Jack.
And you know I'm not egotistical.
No, after all. Now, well, tell me more about it, Jack. I'm really interested.
No, Eddie, I'd rather not talk about it. I mean, people might think I'm swell-headed and over-enthusiastic, so... let's drop it.
Okay. By the way, Jack, how is Mary?
Mary? Why, she's not even in the picture. You see, it's Ann Sheridan.
Oh, yes.
And, Eddie, I must tell you about one scene we have together. You see, Ann and I have been married for 3 years. And there's one scene in the garden that'll tear your heart out.
Really?
Oh, really. It's where I say to her, Connie... See, that's your name in the picture,
that's
Connie.
Connie.
My name is Billy Boy.
Really?
Yeah, look at that. No, but this scene is really beautiful. I say to her, now this is after we've been married, you see, for 3 years, you see. And we're out in the garden, and I say, Connie, this is our third anniversary. Tell me, sweetheart, do you still love me? And as the moonbeams cast their magic spell over us, she looks into my eyes and softly whispers, no. Well, Eddie, I saw it and cried.
Yeah.
Really? And when a fellow as tough as I am can cry at his own picture, well.
Well, that must be a real dramatic highlight, Jack.
Huh? Oh, it is. Oh, well, enough about me and everything. Listen, how's Ida? Did she see my picture?
She didn't. Tell me, Jack, how do you look on the screen? I mean, how do you photograph?
How do I photograph?
On the screen, yes.
I'm glad you brought that up. Now, Eddie, I mean, you know me well. You know I never brag. I mean, you know that.
I know that, Jack.
Come here a minute.
Yeah.
Now, don't misunderstand what I'm going to
Jack,
say.
Can,
you know. Now, look at you've seen Robert Taylor on the screen, haven't you?
Uh-huh.
Well, let's not talk.
Oh, yeah. Let me hear.
I'm acting like a kid.
No.
That's all right. Let's drop it, Eddie.
No, let's kick it around some more. Then, Jack, from what you just told me, you really feel that you've established yourself as a great screen lover?
Definitely. To tell you the truth, Eddie, I was so good in those love scenes that in my next picture, they're just going to give me a leading lady and a rumble scene.
I'd like to ask you something. You and I have been friends for a great many years, haven't we?
Oh, we've been pals, kid.
Well, I'd like to ask you something, brother.
What is it, kid?
Who's going to play the part of the rumble scene?
Listen, Eddie, not changing the subject.
Yeah.
But look, I was awfully thirsty when I came in here. Is there any water around here?
Yeah, right out in the hall, Jack.
Thanks, Eddie. I'll be right back.
That's all right. What a ham. Harry, will you come here a minute?
Now, what, Eddie?
Did you ever hear a man rave so much about himself? Did you ever see such a display of egotism?
No, Eddie, I must admit I never did.
Well, let me tell you something.
What?
I didn't want to mention this to Jack, but I saw George Washington slept.
You really? Well, look, how does Jack photograph, Eddie? How does he look?
Harry, come here a minute.
Yeah.
You've seen Robert Taylor, haven't you?
Oh, sure. I've seen him in lots of pictures.
Then you know it can't be the camera.
Jack looks pretty bad, huh?
He looks I'll explain it this way. Did you ever see a little girl about 6 years old when she gets into her mother's purse and puts on some rouge and lipstick?
Yes.
Well, Jack looked just like that, only he had a red arrow pointing to his dimple. Anyway, Harry... Oh, Jack! Jack, I was just telling Mary how
Harry,
anxious I am.
Harry.
I was just telling
that's
Harry how anxious...
Mary is home listening to the program.
I've been telling her to... Listen. I've been just telling Harry Von Zell how anxious I am to see you in your new picture, Jack.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that can be arranged, Eddie. I'll leave a couple of passes for you at the box office.
Passes?
Yes. It won't cost you a cent. You just have to be there at the theater any time between 5 and 6 in the morning, and you can see the picture. Sort of an early bird matinee.
Look, Jack, I'd like to see George Washington slept here, but I don't want to get there so early I have to wake him up.
All right, Eddie, I'll give you 2 swell tickets for tonight.
You'll give me?
Well, in return, I'd like to ask a small favor. Remember me telling you over the phone about a certain proposition?
Yes, that's it. Come.
Well, here's what it is.
Yes.
I am going to New York in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
They want to see the Brooklyn bombshell there. And I'm going to New York in a couple of weeks, and I'd like to take your whole cast with me.
That's his favor, you?
Yes. Your whole cast.
Don't be ridiculous, my whole cast. I'm sorry, Jack, but it's no deal. Listen to me, kid. You keep your show and I'll keep mine.
Well, I just thought I'd ask. If you say no, that's the end of it, Eddie.
Glad we understand each other. Now, look, Jack.
Oh, Mr. Cantor.
Why, yes, Dinah. Come in, Dinah.
You wanted it to stay sure, Mr. Cantor.
Thanks, Dinah. Jack, you know Dinah Shaw.
Oh, sure. Hello, Dinah.
Hello.
I got to run. I can't let you have any of my cash, Jack. You asked me and I told you, and that's
all right.
The way it shall it be that way.
That'll
you
be
told
it.
Me not to.
All right. I'll see you later. Dinah.
Yeah.
Dinah.
Uh-huh.
Come here a minute, will you?
Okay.
Look, Dinah.
Yes?
Dinah. Dinah, are you happy here? I mean, are you satisfied with what you're doing and for whom you're doing it?
Well, what do you mean, Jack?
I mean, wouldn't you rather broadcast on Sunday than on Wednesday?
Well, what's the difference?
Well, look what it does to your whole week. Look, when you broadcast on Wednesday, let me show you. You broadcast on Wednesday, then all of a sudden comes Thursday and Friday. The first thing you know, your weekend is shot. Then all of a sudden comes Monday and Tuesday, and you're working again. Where at? When you broadcast on Sunday, you've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday all to yourself. Wonderful.
But, Mr. Benny,
no buts, Dinah. I'm determined to have you work for me. Now, tell you what. I'll pay you twice as much as you get from Cantor. Now, how much does Eddie pay you?
Well...
I know how you feel, Ida. Dinah, I know how you feel. Just whisper it to me. How much does he pay you?
He pays me,
Look, Dinah, if you work on Sunday, it'll ruin your whole week.
Did you say something, Mr. Benny?
Why, no, Harry. I was just... Oh, say, Harry.
What?
Come here a minute, will you?
What's the matter?
Harry, are you happy here?
Yes, I'm very happy here.
Oh, I mean, are you happy in California? Don't you get tired of all this sunshine? Wouldn't you rather go back to New York and step into a nice, slushy gutter?
What are you driving at?
Well, would you be interested in coming back to New York with my show?
Well, what about Don Wilson?
Oh, Don's all right, but with the meat rationing, I'd like to get a smaller announcer. And he's so unreasonable. Why, I offer to pay his fare back to New York, but he refuses to sleep in an upper berth.
Oh, well, that is unreasonable.
Of course it is. After all, how much room does Dennis Day take up? What do you say, Harry?
Well...
Suppose we'll get a million laughs.
Well, to tell the truth, Jack, I'd rather stay here and get a million smiles.
You'd rather get smiles?
Yes, I would.
How do you go about it?
It's very simple. Do it like this. Ladies and gentlemen, to help get a smile you can be really proud of, decide now to change to Ipana toothpaste and gum massage. Because firm, healthy gums are mighty important to sound teeth and sparkling smiles. And Ipana toothpaste is not only unsurpassed for cleaning and brightening teeth, but when used with massage, it's especially designed to help stimulate and strengthen gums, to help keep them from becoming susceptible to gum trouble. So, ladies and gentlemen, why don't you follow this simple, helpful routine?
Regularly brush your teeth with Ipana toothpaste. And every time you do, put a little extra Ipana on your brush or fingertips and massage it on your gums.
So get a tube of Ipana from your druggist tomorrow. And remember, the government says we can't buy toothpaste of any kind without turning in an empty tube. So don't forget to take an empty metal tube of some kind with you when you ask for your Ipana toothpaste.
Oh, Dinah, where's Jack Benny?
He went into your dressing room to comb his hair.
That's silly. He could have left it here and I'd have combed it.
Mr. Cantor, maybe I shouldn't mention this, but, well, Jack Benny's been trying to hire me for his program.
What?
And Harry, too.
No.
Yeah.
After I warn, I'll fix him and I'll fix him good.
What are you doing, Mr. Cantor?
You said he's in my dressing room?
Yeah.
I'm going to phone in there and pretend that I'm Rochester.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny? This is Rochester, boss. I'm quitting. I got a very lucrative offer from Eddie Cantor.
All the cheap tricks. The men in my back are turning to steal my cash. I can't trust anybody these days.
And you the truth.
Rochester. Rochester, you're making a big mistake going to work for Cantor. Why, he'll never pay you as much as I owe you. Rochester, working for me, you got a future. Why do you want to leave?
Frankly, boss, I'd rather work for a younger man.
Younger? Why, Cantor is old enough to be my father. And if I was a girl, he probably would be. Rochester, your mind's made up. I mean, you finally decided to leave me?
That's right. Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye, Cantor.
He knew it all the time. Well, I'll go into the dressing room now and find out exactly what he's talking about.
Now, if I could only find someone here who isn't loyal, a guy that would stoop to anything, a complete stinker.
How do you do?
First Gordon, the man, Russia.
Comrade, I am your man. For 12 years, I've been working for Kemper, and now...
Yes?
I am revolting.
You certainly are. Russian?
Yes.
I'll give you a contract if you're sure you want to quit Kemper.
Why shouldn't I quit him? He's no good. He's a crook. He's a heel.
Aha!
And I love him. He's like my own brother.
Russian, don't let him tempt you with money. Even if you do work for Benny, you can't get above the $25,000 ceiling.
Working for you, I can't even get off the floor. My ceiling is zero.
Oh, stop. Will you?
Mr. Benny, I decided to work for you at my very lowest figure.
What's that?
Nothing.
Russian, I don't understand. You've been with me so long. Why do you want to leave me to go to work for Jack Benny?
Because I like him. I like him. I like him. I owe him a debt of gratitude. You see, many years ago, back in Moscow, I am sitting with my girl. We are tuning in on the radio. And we are hearing... Love in blooming. I am holding her hand. I can smell the chrysanthemums right in the air. And then, my dear friend, I propose. Mr. Benny, that's why I am grateful to you.
You mean your girl said yes?
No, the music was so bad she killed herself. Thank you.
Harry. What's the matter, Eddie?
Don't you get it?
Now listen to me here. What is it? An imitation of Donald Duck?
No. Oh, it's not either. I'm practicing to be a ventriloquist. Shirley's been teaching me.
Oh, you mean Shirley Dinsdale, a little 15-year-old ventriloquist?
Yeah, and when she comes back next week from San Francisco, she's going to give me my second lesson. And after that, I'll come up to the microphone, and without even moving my lips, I'll be able to say, ladies and gentlemen, it's worth your while to know how much faster Sal Hepatica helps you feel better when you wake up in the morning feeling headachy and out of sorts due to the need of a laxative. Because then Sal Hepatica brings speedy, gentle relief, usually within an hour. So you don't have to put off till night taking the laxative you need in the morning. You don't have to risk feeling miserable all day. Sparkling Sal Hepatica has this advantage, too.
Sal Hepatica also helps sweeten an upset stomach by helping to reduce excess gastric acidity.
So get a bottle of Sal Hepatica from your druggist tonight or tomorrow. And any time you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better when you take gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica.